Good morning. In the midst of the fears of the coronavirus, this morning when we start our praises, the first song we sing is what? Be still. I mean, what happened? I mean, after be still, or while you be still, the second is what coming up is know that He is God. It's a big comfort when we sing this song and that we a hope of a community of hope that we know God is there. God is with us. God is around us, above us, beside us. So when in all these kind of like fears among us growing in the Bay Area, the first case is actually in Santa Clara. But one thing we shouldn't lose our focus is that our Father, God is here. So be still. Don't panic. Be still. This morning I want to share with you a topic. Give everything your all. First of all, let me ask you, are you a passionate person? Passionate, you know, emotional is, I mean, well, passion has emotion, but emotional doesn't mean you are passionate. So are you a passionate person? I'm not talking about are you an emotional person. What is passion means to you? What is passion means to you? Now, most of us in search of happiness, which is often tied to our life passion and doing what we were meant to do or we desire to do and not what others want us to do or just from our obligation. Now, being passionate is a single greatest quality you can bring to any situation, whether it be at work, love, friendships, or just life in general. Passion, by its nature, is an exciting and happy trait that motivate others and encourage positive actions with its energy and joy. When you see a passionate person, you always kind of see the energy there. When such a person is around, she or he can always bring up energy or vibrance level. I'm not exactly, you know, VIB is vibe. Is that kind of like vibrance? Like, yeah, the energy, right? In my younger age, I always remember a writer who came to this realization too late. He said, "First, I was dying to finish high school and start college. And then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow in love, old enough so that I could return to work. And then I was dying to retire, just like me. I'm dying to retire, and now I am dying." And suddenly, I realized I forgot to live. You may not understand, but if I can go back to the time tunnel, I would tell myself, what's the rush? What's the rush? There is a saying, every man dies, but not every man really lives. I'm not sure whether you heard about Simon and Garfunkel. You haven't born yet. But anyway, there was a song called El Condor Pasa. It's a Spanish word. In English, it's the condor. Happens. It's a 1970 song. It used to be a best-known Peruvian songs. And the lyrics go like that. I'd rather be a sparrow than a snail. Yes, I don't know. It's too early in the morning. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. And then the second stanza say, I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. And then we'll go, I'd rather be a forest than a street. Think about the song lyrics. What are you talking about? Many people want to make a difference. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. I'd rather be a sparrow than a snail. I'd rather be a forest than a street. It's actually talking about freedom. Talking about compare hammer, nail. Can't move. One is hammer in, you can't move, right? A snail is walking so slow, but sparrow can fly. The forest and the street. But I just put this in a kind of like a different perspective and say people try to sing this song, maybe they want to make a difference. But somehow they sense that something vital is missing in their life. So they want to be more, to have more. More in what? More in study, more in job, and more in every relationship. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, being a Christian, we have Jesus in our life. Yes, we can have it. We can do it more. And we can also live life freely and passionately. I'm convinced that life is meant to be lived with passion to honor our God powerfully. For it is then that we resemble God most in spirit. Because God created us passionately with joy and commitment to us. And his love for us have never worn off. I tell you, yes, life is tough. And sometimes hurdle, hinder our way, but passion can powerfully transcend it. Being passionate is all about a basic mindset and a heart attitude to embrace life positively, energetically, with eternity in view. That's the hope. A passionate life is what Jesus was talking about when he promised us that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more, what? Abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. There's a guy called Eric Liddell. He was a Scottish Olympic gold medalist, runner, and also an international rugby player. He had a nickname, the Flying Scot. He was deeply passionate about running. But at the same time, he had another deep passion. The movie in 1981 called The Chariots of Fire. I mean, you haven't born yet, doesn't matter. I'm talking all the oldies. I'm old. That movie portrayed him that he loved God even more than running. In a scene, he compares life to a race and he concludes that. He said, if you commit yourself to the love of Christ, then that is how you run a strict race. Now, after Eric's triumph in Olympic, he returned to China as a missionary and served God passionately. It was impossible for Eric to separate his passion for running from a passion for God. He said, I believe that God made me for a purpose for China, but he also made me fast. So when I run, I feel God's pleasure. It is not just fun. To win is to honor my God. The life of Eric had demonstrated a model of what we call the passion principle that described in the passage, just reading there in the beginning, Paul in Colossians chapter 3, and he said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human master, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Verse 23 to 24. In Eric Liddell University years, whatever you do is what? He centered on running. And afterward, Eric's life focused on missionary work in China. And he did them both heartedly, passionately, as to the Lord. But by God's will, God took Eric home at the age of 43, just 43 years old, due to a brain tumor. This passion principle tells us to do whatever we do, heartedly. Whatever we do, whatever is not in a negative sense, but where we usually say, whatever, whatever. It's not that in that kind of negative sense, but whatever is simply referred to every task we undertake. It includes anything you must do as a citizen, a spouse, a parent, a child, or an employee, etc. And also, when Paul talked about this principle in verse 23, it's mentioned about what? Even father, mother, children, and even a slave. So that means whether it is a pleasant duty or an unpleasant duty. In addition, it also includes anything that you choose to do, you gifted to do. In this way, it's easier because you like it. This is your gift. Like you want to sing a song. I mean, you play music and you sing song. Which you like it? It's easier because you can do it with more passion. Of course, besides that, it must also include anything you are commanded and called to do by God, such as sharing the gospel, making disciples, loving one another, and things that fulfilling your purpose in life. Now, talking about fulfilling your purpose in life is a big topic. We need a series of sermons to talk about the purpose of life. But to summarize this, is that maybe the purpose of our life, according to Westminster Catechism, the first thing is that what is the chief purpose of humankind? The chief purpose of human is to what? Is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. To glorify God and enjoy God forever is kind of sounds like simple, but you have to think deep what does it mean by glorify God. But this morning I'm not going to touch this subject. How would you describe your purpose of life, brothers and sisters? How would you describe your purpose of life? I think this question has much to do with what your life is all about. What about your core value? I mean, this is like another deep topic because maybe you're still young to talk about like, what's my core value? But you got to understand that. I think your teacher teach about the core value. They share the value with you. What about your unique abilities? What about a specific calling? Some people, when they're young, they already receive a specific calling. But whatever your purpose is, God calls you to do it passionately. No matter what it is, God wants us to do it passionately. Once you have a vision for life, passion is an inner spark provided by the Holy Spirit that ignites you to continuously live out your God-given purpose. Let me share with you. You may see Pastor Sam, me, when when I preach, I usually use a lot of 好多氣, I have to take a lot of energy. Because I don't know why, whenever I share about Jesus Christ, I always feel that kind of heat inside me. And I would get it, I really want to get it out. And I feel so excited and blessed to get up on every Sunday morning and knowing that I have the chance, I have the opportunity to share, to be able to teach in Sunday school class or to share a sermon. I feel so excited. Usually I dress the best. I iron my shirt, you know, I ready my suit and hang it on the door and make sure everything is set and I'll go to sleep. That's my Saturday night. I feel excited. I feel being passionate, being a pastor, being a preacher. Because when I share Jesus Christ, I can jump around, I don't know. I feel young. I think I'm passionate in sharing Jesus Christ. Because truly and surely the Word of God are so amazing and delightful. And that my emotion arise. The psalmist said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. God designed you for a purpose. Remember that. God designed each one of us here a purpose, and he instilled the desires in you to match it. That's promised. But first of all, you must delight in God, in your Father. You must find the delight in him. Well, however, there are people who may find churches are boring, but much more, they find more excitement and passion outside the church. That's a pity. I think the reason maybe there are a lot of passionless churches out there, and meanwhile, there are too many Christians who are not equally passionate about all of life. So, be passionate, brother and sister. Be passionate, please. Follow your passion. It will lead you away from yourself to others and lead you from a building into the world. God has given you all the ingredients for joy beyond description and imagination. I promise that. I guarantee that. I can't promise you, but I guarantee that. And those ingredients are simmering inside you and rising to the surface. Pursue God. Pursue your passion. Whatever they may lead you, and you are certain to find, just what I said, the unspeakable joy in Christ. Can you find joy in believing Jesus? I hope you enjoy the worship. I hope you desire to come here every morning to worship God, to find delight in God. And then God will instill what he had given to you and make this match. Secondly, the passion principle calls us to do whatever we do heartily. And if doing it for God himself, heartily is to work at whatever with all your heart and soul and your strength that you put it in into your life, not with an attitude of half-hearted effort, or with an attitude say, if I feel like it, I'll do it, or whatever the boss is watching, that I'll do it. When Jesus commanded us to love God and neighbor with all our heart, our soul and our mind, he is underlining the point that we must love God and others from the deepest part of ourselves, with everything we have, wide open. Everything. When you love God, Just like this, wide open. When you can love God wide open, then you can love the others. And you're willing to open yourself, pouring out, not try to take in as much as you can, but pouring out. Christ teach us to give, to pour out, not to take. Because the more you try to take, you're going to lose. The more you're trying to give it, and you take. That is kind of like a paradoxical truth. Because this world teach you how to grab, 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 take, take, take. But Jesus say, give, 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 and give. To love God, we need to be passionate. To love people, we need to be passionate. Of course, we talk about this passion. This passion must be sustainable. That is to say, this passion has to be an everyday passion that can maintain the momentum and persistence at tasks, even when our emotion of that kind of monetary passion are absent. When we don't have that emotion there, we still keep it. We still maintain it. We still can sustain it. When you don't feel like it and you are not willing to do it anymore, but I still have that passion. And this is an exercise. This is kind of discipline in life, that you have to exercise this kind of passion because you have that delight in God. Because you live your life for God passionately so that you can train yourself to become a passionate person. Therefore, I can say a passionate life has to be a life of willing to sacrifice. Now, when you invest yourself wholeheartedly in your interest, your relationship, your work, and service for the Lord, what will you do? Usually, when you really can invest yourself, think about playing basketball. Johnny, is Johnny here? You like basketball very much, right? So, when you say I put all myself into basketball, what will you do? You do what? Whatever. You put your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength into basketball, right? When you play a game, right? So you become an MVP. MVP is what? Most valuable player, right? Everybody will dream about it. Of course, one day when you become NBA MVP, the church will celebrate, the whole 4C church will celebrate for it. Because you become rich. not so. We share the joy with you, brother. You pour your heart, you pour everything out. When you finish a basketball game, you are so tired. Your resources are so low. So when Paul calls in Roman to become a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, it means what? It means to place ourselves on the altar before God without any reservation, with no string attached, even in the hindrance of our human nature that tell us, no, don't do this. Our human nature would tell us to be selfish. Our human nature will tell us, I am, you are the captain of your own soul. So when we do it, it hurts. When we're willing to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice before God, it hurts. It hurts to climb up to the altar, much more than being called to the altar when we make our decision to follow Christ, when there is a evangelistic meeting, when the preacher call out, if people want to believe in Christ, devote your life to Christ, please come towards the altar. So that's called altar call. It's easier. But when Paul said, become a living sacrifice, meaning you go to the altar again, but you had to climb to the altar. It's not that easy. It hurts. Do you agree that we work or study with a passion that reflects how we feel about the one who work for or the one who teach you. Now, Paul challenged us to do everything passionately as to the Lord and not to man. Meaning what? Wholeheartedly, you know that God is our big boss and he's watching. He's watching us in everything you do. You go to sleep, you go to school, you're driving to work, you close the door in front of a computer, but God is watching you. There is a story about a seminary's cafeteria, which share facilities with a college campus. One day, as a student moved through the lunch line, they found a basket of bright red apple, and then a sign placed by the staff that read, "Take one, take only one, please. God is watching." The student moved through the line and reached the other end, where they also found a box of broken cookies. Then there was another sign, but this one was handwritten on a notebook paper. Clearly, it was left by a student. And this one read, "Take as many as you want. God is watching the apples." Well, we chuckle because we know that God has no blind spot and God doesn't need to sleep. He never slumbers. He's watching the apple, and at the same time, God is watching the cookies and everything else. Most of all, God is watching us. How often do we consider that fact? How much a difference would it make in the life of you, your family, your classmates, and friends, your co-worker? If you lived with a message in mind all the time, telling yourself, "God is watching me. God is watching me." When I tell my parents doing something, but actually not, but you know that God is watching you. In the darkness, you think that people can't see you. Yeah, maybe right. But God can see. God is watching you. God is above you, beside you, behind you. We work as to the Lord who is in the office or classroom. But that is only the beginning. We work as to the Lord when we lead the praises like the praise team, when we help in the children or the church nursery. There is no task in this world you cannot perform with passion as long as you remember who that task is for and all that he has already done for you. How you do it will reflect. How you do it will reflect how you feel about your master. We should learn that achievement is not the sum of what you have and what you do, but what you bring from your inside. Remember that. We should learn the achievement is not from what you try to do, you try to have what you can have and try to do what you can do. It's not the sum of that, but exactly this is a sum of what you bring from your inside. Michael Jordan was cut from high school basketball team. Yet, he became the greatest player in the NBA history. Because Michael gave all his passion, all his energy for the game. And when maybe you heard about Brother Lawrence of the 17th century monk in Paris who worked in the monastery's kitchen. And he had a very special gift. a gift of an understanding that God was with him everywhere. And he would pray like that, Lord of all pots and pans and things, make me a sink by getting meals and washing up the plates. Can you pray like that? What can cause you pray like Brother Lawrence while doing your chores, your assignment, your obligation? Are you doing that for God? Do you know that God is actually working with you, behind you, and he's watching over you? God does not desire what kind of degree you are going to achieve. He wants your heart. Academic achievement does not determine your worth. Our value derives from our origin as image bearers of God and from our identity in Christ. And no matter how important our choices seem, and whatever fervently our ambitions burn, God decides our vocation. He calls us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. God prepares for us ahead of time. He ordained a path, and he equipped us to get it through. Therefore, amidst the examination, amidst your competition in the class, in the grace and the pressure, you must rest in the assurance of God's love for you. We seek to serve the Lord joyfully and in all the things we do. For the Bible said, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plan. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. But remember, when we say we do things for God, it does imply that we are calling to meet God's need. For he is completely self-sufficient in the fellowship of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the creator of all things and the creator of life. We are called to work whatever hardly for the Lord doesn't mean he needs something for us to give it to him. In giving everything our all is to know that from the Lord we will receive what? The reward of inheritance. God doesn't look for perfection. He looks for passion. I repeat. God don't need us to be perfect. He just wants us to live a passionate life for him. Passion. On fire. And when you become weary and discouraged, just remember all that he has left you and that you and God are in this inheritance together. You need not sweat and strain in order to be found worthy of that. For God has already called you. You are my heirs. You are my children. Will you be passionate about living under these promises? This inheritance, the Bible tells us that it is eternal, incorruptible, does not fade away, reserved just for you and me. It is an inheritance with benefit in this lifetime and also beyond this lifetime. And most importantly, it is an inheritance of all satisfying joy of knowing our Heavenly Father forever, knowing Him, and get more in Him. That's the joy, brothers and sisters. Do you know what's this? To have God. To enjoy Him forever. Do you enjoy, find your peace, find your joy in God? When you have that in view, it humbles our hearts by obeying to live a life of passion. Because we see that obedience is not about us giving God something he needs, but about God giving us something we need. That is more joy in God. And it motivates us to know God deeper and sees God more through our obedience. When you are in a basketball tournament, you know that God is watching the game. When you are cleaning the line den, you clean it as if Jesus were meeting you there. Do your paper well as if Jesus were going to review your paper. Go and conduct a workshop as if Jesus were the keynote speaker. Think of what God has called you to do, whether to lead a Bible study, help in a children's ministry, distribute the lunch plates, share gospel, or talk to the elderly if you have a chance, or you don't have wait for the chance, you go there like this afternoon, find an elderly brother and sister to talk to them and say hello. Remember to have eye contact every time when you come in, right? Do it for God. Just do it for God. Can you? You know you should do it for the Lord. But can you try to say this in your heart with faith and sincerity? I am going to lead the Bible study for the reward of joy in the Lord. I am going to help out the children's ministry for the reward of joy in the Lord. I am going to distribute Sunday lunch plates for the reward of joy in the Lord. I am going to share the gospel for the reward of joy in the Lord. I am going to talk and care the elderly for the reward of joy in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you do that, it changes everything. Because you do it heartily for God. And you have that inheritance. That means it's the reward of the joy in the Lord. This day, next day, and until eternity. Amen.